have a new thought on 666. And actually, this may be the most sophisticated one yet. Get ready for this. All right, this is definitely my personal opinion. But there are three branches of humanity. We're talking about human accomplishment. We're talking about human religion. We're talking about glorifying humanity with 666. That's the whole thing we're working toward. That's why you feel so out of place. That's why you're having a crappy day. Because while you are acknowledging your humility, while you have the equivalent of the name of the Lambkin written on your forehead, and it's God, the world is using their forehead to think of new ways to exalt themselves. So we're in an opposite course here, an opposite path than the members of the world. And so we have given up on it. That's the beauty of our position. We have given up on humanity. Life goes so much better for you after you give up your expectations of government politics, especially in an election year. When you give up all your expectations that humanity's going to produce the nirvana that everybody looks for, or when you've given up hope that, I got to say, I'll never forget the testimony of my friend Nelson Cardwell of Texas, who died last year of liver cancer. I love this man. And he admitted to me that he was early in his career. He had a really smart mind, really good eye for real estate. And he would buy properties and he would trade properties. And at one point, he was worth quite a bit of money. He was, Nelson was, and he was living high on the hog, as they say. And then he was beset with a series of unfortunate events. And he lost things that he had gained. And his net worth went down the tubes. But at the same time, God was working on him. And he was so interested in these books by the Concordant Publishing Concern and in my books. And he came to revel and rely on the living God. And he had the equivalent of the Lambkin's name on his forehead and of that Lambkin's God. And the things that were once gained to him, just like the Apostle Paul, became lost to him. And at first, this was a stress to him. But after he learned to relax in his want, to relax in his new situation, he found that he was actually in a better place because he was no longer striving, no longer pushing that big rock uphill. And so he had come to a place of peace, and he found the peace that Scripture speaks of. He found the peace of being deprived, of being weak, and yet at the same time being full and being strong. You're full of Christ. You're strong in His strength. And so it's this final wonderful expectation that humanity is on a crash course for disaster. And why, I ask, would you want to join humanity on its crash course to disaster? You don't want to. And I'll stick with what I said Monday. That the better things go for you in this life, the more comfortable you are, the less apt you are to be desperately looking for the return of Christ. And maybe there will be other names on your forehead as a figure. Forehead meaning the first thing, the front, the fore, the foreground, the head, what you think with. I'm seeing it as an analogy now that this is what you lead with. As a man thinks, so is he. As a woman thinks, so is she. And when our minds are set on things above, then the things of the world grow dim. But when our mind is set on things of the earth, our vision of God grows dim. and the earth has many attractions. We have found these to be disappointments. We have found them to be unreliable. In our youth, we ran after them. When Paul tells Timothy to avoid the lusts of the flesh, everyone associates this with a sexual context. But in the context, it's religious attainment. It's making a name for yourself. It's any over desire to see the flesh raised, or to see the flesh prospered, or respected, revered, envied. Everybody wants to be the envy of their neighborhood, the envy of their job, the envy of their friends and family. I used to want to be that. Strove for it. Then to find out, all is vanity, says the wise man. And now all I want is Christ. And just like the nations who don't pursue Christ, they find Christ. They don't pursue a law of righteousness. Into a law of righteousness they enter in. It's just a weird principle that when you give up on these things, sometimes they'll come to you. My car, for instance. I took pride in my 99 Ford Contour. Like Paul, I boasted in my weakness. How many times did I mention to you that I'm driving a 99 Ford Contour with 203,000 miles on it? I took pride in my weakness. And I drove my 99 Ford Contour like I was the king of the world. Well, a believer took away my boast. Not that I'm complaining. I have a safer, newer car. But my boast is gone that I have a crappy car. But I was content, you see. And this makes my point that when you stop pursuing these things, the only thing I was pursuing was 300,000 miles. That was my main pursuit. So I wasn't pursuing a new car. My identity has never been in my car. You know what they say about guys with giant pickup trucks, right? You don't? Okay, I won't repeat it here. There was always a joke because everybody in our community of Greenwich, Ohio, farming community, the men there were very rural, very earthy, and they took pride in the size of their trucks. And the theory went that the bigger the truck, the smaller something else was that they had on their anatomy, you might say. That, in other words, their large truck was a compensation for something else. All this striving in the flesh, what does it accomplish? It gets you into debt. It gets you into headache. It gets you into trouble. So we've given up on all that. And I think there's some helpful things here in the unveiling. We've been studying the unveiling, you and I have, for over a year and a half now. And we find that Israel's being stripped. The 144,000 are really stripped. And they're relying on two things. The weakest things you can have. It goes right back to David and Goliath. They have the name of the Lampkin. And it's God. It's Father, I should say. It's a relationship, not it's God, but it's Father. More of a relationship term on their forehead. That's the first thing you see. They lean in with that. They possess that. That's their way of thinking. That only. And so that's our joy. In the meantime, what things have we given up on? I started this with 666, that I had a new thought on it, and I do. I think that there are three main components of humanity: religion, medicine, education. These are the huge things. Obamacare. We hear about how important it is for everyone to have full health coverage. Why? So you can go to the people in the white frocks and the stethoscopes around their neck who have been institutionally trained so that they can pump you with chemicals or stuff you with drugs or cut you with their scalpels or radiate you with their poisons so that you can die sooner? Is that why we need universal health care? Is that what everybody in the world is concerned about? I need protected. I need protected by the experts. I don't know how to take care of myself. I don't know how to eat cabbage. I don't know how to eat oranges. I don't know how to get 8 hours of sleep. I don't know how to drink water. I don't know how to go out for a walk. I don't know how to eat coconut oil. I don't know how to put olive oil on my tossed salad. So I need the so-called experts. Every time I hear this healthcare argument, I think of the woman with the hemorrhage who came up to our Lord bleeding all over the place. And it said of her, and I think this is in Luke because Luke was the physician. This makes sense if this is in Luke. I'm not sure on that, but I'll go out on a limb there. She had suffered much at the hand of the physicians, suffered much. She had spent her livelihood with the physicians, and she was the worse for it, the worse. Because you need the experts, the self-proclaimed experts. The doctors today know nothing about health. They don't know anything about wholeness, about wellness. They treat symptoms. If you have a headache, it's your head telling you something's wrong with your body. Or you have an ache here, an ache there. Your body's crying out. Let's just tell it to shut up. Let's squelch the symptoms of some deeper problem. Let's drug it. Let's cut it out. But you're not getting to the source of the problem, are you? No, because that would involve wellness and wholeness. These people don't know anything about that. They have their own temples, don't they? The hospitals. Oh my God. The doctors are the gods of the hospitals. The doctors are the high priests of the hospital. The hospital is like the temple. The doctor is like the high priest. And you submit yourself to them. And you need tons and tons and tons and tons of money to do it. Then there's the educational system. I've gone off on that before. I'm doing it now because we're talking about 666. Notice 3, religion, medicine, education, 666. I'm putting this all together. There are the doctors in medicine. There are the professors in education. And there are the priests and the pastors in religion. All chiefs, all heads who proclaim themselves to be experts, who go to schools that make them stupider in their profession, in their stated craft, make them stupider in it. Men and women who go to seminaries, oh, they get themselves in so deep a hole that it'll take a road to Damascus experience to bring them out of it. I mourn whenever I hear a parent proudly say, "My son's going to the seminary." Oh my God, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Say it isn't so. Likewise, when somebody has cancer and they go in for radiation treatment, no, don't do it. Don't do it. There are natural ways to fight cancer. Education, the professors, oh, yes, they've been to Ivy League schools. So ivy grows on the sides of your building. So what? That makes it great? Our school has ivy growing on the side of it. Wow, does it? These people profess themselves to be wise, but they're made stupid. And every single institution I have named has driven God from it. 666, fall short, fall short, fall short. The simple things are the true things. Jesus on the Sea of Galilee giving you the truth. Sitting with him by the fire, by the campsite, rowing with him on the Sea of Galilee. The simple antidote to the apostasy of the temple. Medicine. You want simple? Drink a gallon of water a day. That's what I do. Yeah, I have to pee all the time. That's right. I'm a nuisance. I'm a pain in the ass up until noon because I have to pee all the time. But I'm drinking a gallon of water. The body's made of water. Drink the water. The cheapest thing on the planet. God makes it to be a cure. Coconut oil. Eat it. Go for a walk. Simple. Foods. Simple foods. Not complicated foods. Oreos are complicated. You know how hard it is to make an Oreo? I don't either. How about a Twinkie? No. The simple foods. You can pull most of the grass, most of the weeds out of your lawn, put it in a blender with some bananas and one of those things that look like a hand grenade. Oh, yeah, avocado. Blend it up. Drink it. You'll live forever. There's also some positive aspects to that. And of course, religion. Oh, I covered that. Religion, medicine, education. Yes, read books. Why do you need to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on college? Read books, self-educate. We have the internet. Learn from somebody who's an expert in their trade. They used to have a name for that. An apprentice. Go to the library, open a book, read. Read. It's all there for you. These are the simple antidotes to 666. Everything man can accomplish. Forget about it. Truth is simple. And I'm a simple man.